Welcome to the Rhone Podcast. Rhone is a curated physicians network that supports concierge, DPC, and private practices so they can remain independent without being alone. We believe that the future success of primary care requires membership-based medicine practices to thrive. Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Pope, CEO of Rhone, and I'm glad you found us. I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the Rhone Podcast. Welcome, everyone. We've got an outstanding episode of the Rhone Podcast for you today. I've got an exceptional guest out of the Chicago, Illinois, Dr. Ari Levy with Shift. Dr. Levy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, I've long admired the practice that you've built there in Chicago. And part of the premise that we're going to delve into in this episode really gets into this, you know, the cross-section of, you know, wellness and physical fitness and healthcare. And you've really taken a interesting approach to this that I've not seen a lot of other people do. I've seen a lot of other people contemplate it. And you've actually kind of jumped in and gotten it done there in Chicago. So with that as the kind of teaser for the episode, do a quick introduction for our listeners. Tell us about yourself, about your journey into membership-based medicine.
Awesome. Well, a little bit about me. I tell everybody I'm a really lucky guy. I get to help people for a living, and I love doing it. I happen to, unfortunately, be an entrepreneur as well. And I say unfortunate because I sort of sometimes wish I could be in the mold, you know, and just, you know, have the blinders on and go. But, you know, for years, I've always thought about how to help people. And that the origin story is that I was a sick kid. So I had an immigrant father and a mom who they were not physicians, and they just loved me a lot and did everything they could in their power to help make sure that I had great care. And as a result, my health outcomes improved significantly because of them. They were the first ones to, you know, teach me and help me understand about advocacy and empowerment and ownership of your health. We have a very a familial story that my mom will share and I'll sometimes share. I don't know that I totally remembered in my mind, but when I was 8 years old, I was going to see this specialist and he examined me and then he asked me to leave the room. And I said, no, I'm going to stay. He said, no, you should go. And we had this back and forth. And I ended up staying in the room. But that wasn't the point of the story. When we walked out of there, my mom grabbed my hand and she said, you're never going to have to see somebody that doesn't, take care of you and include you. And that was really the most formative element. And you know, I mean, that's, you know, 30 some odd years ago. And as a result of it, you know, that sort of is stuck. Here to care for people and try and put that together, you know, in a way that hopefully helps a lot of folks.
I love the ethos and energy that you bring to everything that you do, Ari. That story is so compelling, and I think it was very clear you were set on this path at a very early age. The memory that isn't going to fade for sure.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't know that I was an entrepreneur, but, you know, throughout the journey, you know, we like to try and connect the dots. And, you know, I was a personal trainer and nutritionist in college and med school. Both of those certifications that I got, those were not degrees. And I say that very specifically because the people who have gotten their degrees in it deserve a higher level of cred than I did for, you know, getting those certs, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. At that time, those were tools that helped me apply the learnings that I had and understand the realm of what I'll call multidisciplinary medicine that helps people build their wealth, their WELLTH, you know, on a daily and weekly basis. And today we've got a whole heck of a lot more information, if you will, about what goes into that and the epigenetics of turning on and off disease expression based on what you do, which is super powerful and really scary if you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, I take my job really seriously, sometimes too seriously, as many will say. But, you know, like, look, time's the currency, man, right? We better live well and live on point as much as we can while we're here.
Those who get to interact with me or have listened to other episodes of the Rome podcast here know that I love calling physicians like you my purple unicorn fighter pilots, because you saw the practice of medicine and you said, yeah, I can do that. And then you said, well, and I also have to be an entrepreneur on top of that. And either one of those things in their own right is a really exceptional, difficult thing to do. And you're doing both of them and you're doing exceptionally well. It just makes you a very, very rare breed. But the one thing that you touched on there, I want to come back to, because I think it's a testament to how you've built your practice with your experience as a personal trainer and with your experience as a nutritionist. You bring a very collaborative approach to your practice. Tell our listeners more about how you kind of integrate other care providers into Shift.
Well, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that quote, albeit remarkably simple, is so true. You know, medicine, as it's designed in its, history, is a reactive business, right? It's a reactive art form. You have a problem, we solve it. And I think in today's day and age, we sort of poo-poo that or knock it down that that's such a bad thing. It's actually wonderful. The magic of medicine, the magic of pharmaceuticals and vaccines. I mean, it's allowed us to change the course of public health in a way that, you know, we haven't been able to before. But understanding how to build health gets down to one's habits and gets down to, you know, what I say is both between the ears and then into life. And who am I to think that I'm the only one that knows how to do that and knows how to do it best? So I think that it takes a village. I totally believe that. And, you know, so you gave me, you know, some positive praise, which is great. But, you know, so everybody that knows me knows that I have an amazing group of people that work with me and help support me and allow me to be here while not caring for patients. And so it's not about me. It's about everybody else, actually. We are greater as a collective than we than we are as individuals.
Who are some of those other providers that you kind of surround your patients with? What type of expertise do they bring to the table?
We have, our team, our staff team here are, we've got physicians, nurses, medical assistants, we've got physical therapists, dietitians, and then massage or tissue pliability experts. So we've got, we've got folks, from the allied health professions, as well as, clinicians. And then what we say is we're individual centric, we're quality focused, and we're institution agnostic. So I think that fit really matters, and fit really matters for the patient. You know, everybody always wants the best guy or gal or human, right, to help care for them. That sometimes needs to be broken down. Like sometimes you just need a really good technician to get the information you need to make a good decision, right? It's not always about having the best per se. It's about gathering the data, and processing it and figuring out where you go next.
I really commend you for putting together such a team design for your practice, because I think it takes a lot of, one, care for your patients, but two, a lot of humility also to know where you can excel and where you need, kind of that reliever to delve in really deep on a particular area. Go ahead.
I mean, medical is becoming, especially, it's becoming in primary care much more of a task-based system, right? There's a lot of technical elements. Long gone are the physical exam skills that, my mentors trained me with. I mean, when they were putting a tongue depressor at the apex of the heart and, shining a light to see the shadowed waves to get a sense of different heartbeats and heart sounds. You know, these were guys that, they're magicians, right? I know of a physician who based on his physical exam skill, goes straight to a nephrologist when he finds a renal cell tumor. He doesn't even do imaging. How crazy is that, right? And when you hear those things, what we forget is there is so much of an art form, and the beauty of our technology and our society is that we've made this, so many parts of this technical. You've got this, this, and this, right? Or these are the problems at hand, which is really powerful. But for many primary care physicians and what I'll call the frontline providers, you know, you see that it's a throughput game in the traditional system. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were doing, you know, we often call it the dirty or difficult work, you know, working with somebody to change their habits, to help them figure out the right way. Stuff's not easy, right? You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to have a lot of emotions between the ears. And, you know, it's about having the right support there, as we talk about with our folks, to shorten the amount of times that you stumble. So, you know, if every time you sort of fall off the wagon of doing well is, you know, 4 months, and we shorten that down to 4 weeks and then 4 days and then 4 hours, well, then we're winning, right? Because we're increasing the likelihood that your habits and your patterns are changing. And what we want is we want to make it simple, easy, and automatic for you to do.
Yeah. There was the concept of, you know, creating kind of a luxury experience for the healthcare consumer is a recurring theme here. And, you know, the idea that luxury ends when the consumer has to think, you know, and what you're talking about is kind of giving them all the support that they need to make sure that they're getting the right information at the right time from the right people, so that, you know, you're ensuring their success as much as possible and reducing the opportunity that they're going to fall flat on their face and fail. You've talked about it a couple times here, but the coaching aspect of what you do is an important element of your care delivery as well. Can you talk to us a bit more about the role coaching plays for your patients?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think what's interesting is, you know, we, and maybe this is an identity issue as we're thinking about it now, but we often don't look at ourselves as, you know, sort of a luxury good or service. We think about ourselves as a necessity. And so we're actively seeking the right fits, because what we want are people that are willing to invest in their health in order to yield the outcomes that they want. And what we want to be able to have are what we'll call the subject matter experts, not just in the domains of medicine or movement or fuel and recovery, right? Not just the people who know their technical aspects, but they know how to understand you, Scott, and who you are and what the context of your life is, and then what's the content of going on inside of you, so that we can help show up. Because if you're in the driver's seat, right, and we're in the passenger seat and we're on this journey together, what we're seeking is progress over perfection. And coaching, right, is not in a 2-minute increment, is not simply in testing, it's in all of those moments of our lives, those coachable moments where we stumble and where we succeed and where we're, you know, then nudged just enough to keep going forward.
Yeah. So for the listeners here, unfortunately, this is in a podcast format. They don't get to see that you and I are both sporting the Oura rings. Yeah. And they don't get to see, what did you call the vest that we're wearing?
The Patagucci.
The Patagucci.
Yeah.
Patagucci.
Sort of the Patagucci. I'm wearing this vest that was given to me, and in full embarrassment of wearing it now because of the name that it holds amongst colleagues and friends.
I love it. I had to call out the Patagucci. I'd not heard that one before. That's too good.
Yeah.
So, you know, back to the conversation on your practice here. Again, I've been a huge fan. And one of the things that I love the most is just getting the opportunity to go look at it websites and see how you really are trying to convey your practice, you know, to the general public through your website. And when you go on the Shift website, it kind of feels like it's one part medical clinic and one part personal training studio. I know that was very intentional. Talk to our listeners more about how you've kind of brought those two worlds together.
Yeah. So when we first conceived of the model, we wanted to have a facility where we could teach and show and work with people on how they built health as a part of their daily rhythms and routines. And in order to do that, we wanted it to be a place that they would come to and spend time at, not just like a chill doctor's office. You know, how many people want to come to their doctor's office every single day? Nobody, right? No matter how cool the place is, you want to, you know, you want to get in and get out, right? It's like, I don't want to catch anything while I'm there, and I don't want them to tell me I got anything bad, and then I want to go. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to create an environment that was inviting, that had this mix of grittiness, if you will, in terms of like, you know, it's not, it may not be easy, but it'll be worth it, as well as endearing acceptance. So we take all comers wherever you are, whether you're working on just taking your first steps, you know, or you're, you know, a high performing athlete. And in the work that I'd done, you know, as one of the docs for Chicago Blackhawks and in, you know, with other groups, what's really important is to build community and create a place where, you know, if you assessed folks the right way, you knew what their, what we'll call their progression or regression was that they needed to do on a particular movement. You knew what their key domains were that they were working on. And one of our, you know, our initial points was that people just need to move better. And so we wanted to have this facility that allowed us to, you know, showcase that and build it and do it.
Yeah. I love that. The, you know, when the whole accountable care organization concept started coming through with the Affordable Care Act, I really felt that the hospitals and health systems in this country were put at a vast disadvantage. Part of the reason was because of what you just touched on. And I really felt that the retail pharmacy environment was primed to excel, because that's where you see walking well, right? You get access to people before they get sick. Nobody ever goes to a hospital or health system unless, well, maybe you're visiting somebody who's sick, but unless you're really in a bad place. And so I commend you for what you've done there in creating that, that dynamic of, you know, getting more access, more availability, and you're really, you know, incorporating that wellness as the healthcare component as a way of life. It's almost the contrast between, you know, kind of doing a fad diet versus really changing the way that you consume food and your relationship with food, right? It's not an episode. It's, you know, a way of life.
Yep.
So, and I would imagine that in creating that, that physical space, you probably attract a certain type of clientele. And I imagine that was by design as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the intention versus haphazardness of life. And I was just reminded by a patient the other day, which is one of the gifts of medicine, is that if you're really, if you do a good job as a doc, it means you're also listening. So it means you're not only trying to figure out what's going on, but you're listening for other things in life. And so it's always like sort of always in school, if you will, learning from those, you know, those coming through your doors. And my patient said to me, he said, listen, life is chaos. The most important thing is to be kind. And so, you know, we intentionally designed this place, right? But intention versus application is totally different. You know, we have attracted people from all walks of life. We don't, you know, we talk about the psychographic profile, right? Who the human is that's coming through our doors. So there's clearly an aesthetic appeal. There's a period of time where it was cool to come to shift, and it may still be cool, but, you know, cool is a very amorphous phrase, and, you know, cool goes into style and out of style. You know, what we are seeking and what we are, you know, zealots about, and hopefully the most positive terms, is finding people who have a compelling emotional reason to care about their health. They're either in their 30s or 40s and have young kids, and they're worried about, you know, being there for the kids. They've struggled with an issue or two, you know, that is showing up in their health. They've lost a loved one, or, you know, heaven forbid, they've had a scare themselves. You know, and this is life, right? Like life is chaos. And so what we want to do is we want to be there for them. And then we also won't pander. And what I mean by that is like, you know, I think we don't often give clear enough guidance and direction about what it's going to take to yield the accomplishments that folks want. And they're totally doable. But again, this is where it requires the right support, because it's going to take you a minute to get there. And, you know, as I tell people who come in wanting to lose weight, it's really easy to lose weight. It's really hard to change the habits and build the foundation, you know, of the master plan and masterpiece that you want to have. And so that really gets into setting the foundation, making sure that your inputs, you know, you're focused on the right things on a daily and weekly basis, and that you've got a really good accountability and feedback loop. Right. That makes sense.
It does completely. And I think it's a great segue into the kind of the concept of functional medicine, which we've not talked about it here, but I think it comes through in the messages on your website and your marketing materials, that you know, that concept of food as medicine. How have you been successful at kind of bringing your patients into that same frame of mind, into that food as medicine and the functional medicine concepts?
You know, it's interesting. You know, one of the things we were just having this discussion, you know, Dr. Hollett and myself about, you know, is what does functional medicine even mean, right? It's like, what does wellness mean? What does functional medicine mean? What does concierge medicine mean? What is direct primary care? There's such a dilution, if you will, and an amalgamation, right, and crossover of terms. To be totally honest, I'm not sure what functional medicine means, but what I do know is that, you know, we think about fuel, which is food, right? So how do you fuel the system? And you can fuel for entertainment, and you can fuel for enjoyment, and you can fuel for mourning. You can also fuel for performance, right? There's all these different ways to take care of this system. And we like the analogy, if you will, because, what you put in absolutely has a massive effect on what you're able to put out and do and perform. And, food like sleep, is a necessary precondition. So, if we're starting, you know, with, we don't agree with that, well, then we have a different battle, hill to climb. But if we do agree, then we've got a starting point.
So, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, you asked, you know, how do we do that? I mean, one of the things that we really say is we can't be everything for everybody. So we really try and focus on our core, tell folks who we are, what we do, what we're great at, and that we're willing to give you, you know, our hearts, our souls, ourselves, you know, but we want in return, we want you to invest in your health and do some work. And, you know, if you can't, then we may not be the best place for you. And we think that that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to what you were talking about with fit, and finding that right fit is essential, because, you know, your patients have to be committed to this, because the last thing you want is to just feel like you're banging your head against a wall for a patient that really is resistant to all the change anyway. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation with you, Ari. What's next chapter for Shift and Dr. Levy?
I was gonna say it's about growth, which it is, and you know, we're focused on that. I think we'll be in more markets across the country in the next couple of years. And you know, we're going to, you know, also make sure that we focus on our care, and that we evaluate that and have others evaluate the quality of the care we provide with a level of rigor. Because I think all too often when you build a business, you get into, you can be blinded by your own light and your brand saying you're great. And so, I want to try and hold on to the truths best we can to see what we do well. And, look, we may be no better than Seattle Sutton's or Weight Watchers or, you know, the null hypothesis, but I want to know that so we can continue to work to get better.
Yeah. Do you think that model changes when you go to different geographies? I mean, you know, the story and the, you know, the mantra that you've got there in Chicago, is it the same when you get to Cincinnati, Ohio? Is it the same when you get to LA? How does that change?
You know, it's interesting. It's a really good question. And you know, I think what's important is to understand the key tenets, pillars, foundations, if you will, whatever the language is you want to use about who you are and what you do and the questions you need to ask. Content, right? Head to toe, inside and out, and then context are critical. So context is, you know, the relationship you have with where you're at, the environment you're in, and the historical context. So we think about when we see our patients, we do this exercise where we're basically getting a lifeline and they're going through, you know, the major traumas, dramas, wins, losses of their life. So what were the major events so that we can understand who each individual is, what some of those, you know, milestones were that have shaped and formed who they are. And by asking those questions, what it allows us to do is understand who you are as a human. Because at the end of the day, life is chaos. And our job is to just be kind and help you get to where you're trying to go. And so we see ourselves very much. We use this organizational analogy a lot where you're the CEO of your life and we're your executive vice president of health. And the first day you come in with us, you spend about 6 or 8 hours. And what we're trying to do is understand what is your strategic roadmap? What are you trying to accomplish? Where are you trying to go? And then we have to assess who you are and where you're at and what you need. And our job is simply say, hey, we see that you want to go here. We've got, this is where you're currently at, and we got to connect these dots. And here are some of the, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Dr. Ari Levy with Shift in Chicago, thank you so much for being an exceptional guest today.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Roan Podcast. If you enjoyed your time here, be sure to subscribe. If you have a story you would like to share on The Roan Podcast, I encourage you to reach out. After all, we are stronger together. Now, I invite you to take a few for you and enjoy 3 minutes of relaxing audio. Be well, my friends.